Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Our apologies for the poor audio quality on this episode. I hope it won't distract too much from the content. In this episode, we dive into the emotional struggles men face, especially those recovering from addiction. We explore the concept of Mr. Unemotional, describing men who find it hard to express their feelings due to past experiences or societal pressures. Stephen Cervantes and I discuss the importance of emotional growth alongside behavioral recovery. We share insights on how men can better understand and articulate their emotions, emphasizing the need for openness and support from partners and friends. The episode highlights the journey toward emotional maturity, encouraging men to embrace change for deeper, more fulfilling relationships. For daily insights from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources, visit bebroken.org or check out the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we would love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. Now, let's unpack Mr. Unemotional with Stephen. All right, Dr. Cervantes.
Hey, I'm warming up here, getting ready, reading my notes. Yeah. You know,
exactly. A little show prep.
There you go.
That's good. Well, I wanted to, you know, every just about every podcast we do, we end up making mention somewhere of our 3-day weekend intensive Gateway to Freedom. And yes, I just want to let people know about that again, because there's always a gateway coming up at some point in the next, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. And so we do them in Texas, we do them in the Florida area. And just so these are great, powerful weekends for men who just either feel stuck or just need help taking the next step towards greater integrity. And so please check that out. If you go to our website, bebroken.org, and click on the men's link, you'll see it there.
It's a great weekend. We get great feedback from men that go, you know, something happened here that's never happened in my life before. And another statement that was made to me once, he said, the guy in group said, you know more about me than my own brother knows about me. Right? Because there's sharing and storytelling that goes on, and it's a safe place. So if you think you'd like to go to a place to unburden yourself, to get a little balance, to shift the direction of your life, to have an aha moment, an awakening, that's a gateway to freedom. It's a weekend, and it'll change your life.
Yeah, and the reason I wanted to bring that up kind of at the kickoff of this particular podcast is because we're going to be talking about Mr. Unemotional. And he shows up a lot at the Gateway weekends. And this is no shame statement or anything like that. It's just the fact that there's so many men that find themselves eventually deeply entangled in some kind of sexual addiction, pornography or acting out or all the kinds of other things, that there has been a massive stunting to their emotional development.
That's a great way to say it.
And so we're just kind of dubbing this as Mr. Unemotional. This is somebody that has just not, if I can put it this way, they've just not grown up or matured emotionally. Their emotional system is far lagging behind. These are usually highly skilled, competent workers. These are men that have great success in their jobs and all these other kinds of things. But there's a stunted, immature, little boy emotional
system that needs to be developed.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you a question, put you on the spot here. Uh-oh. Because I have been, you know, pushing this emotional stuff. I think I stumbled on it early in my personal life and then brought it to our ministry work and sort of had this little gnawing, nagging, emotional. But I almost sense an awakening in you, if I could say it that way. But I've never asked you, and I don't think we've discussed that, but you know about addiction and boundaries and triggers, accountability and group, and that's all essential stuff. None of that. We don't diminish any of that. But do you think you've shifted in the last few years to, and the way I perceive it is addictions sit on emotional health, right? So you can do all the behavioral, all the accountability, all that stuff, but you still got to do this work down here because you can be clean and stunted still.
Yeah. No, I think the awakening was even a lot earlier than that. I think it was, because even in my own journey, there was a sense when I realized I'm not acting out anymore, but there's a whole lot more work to be done. It's almost like if you do all of that just sort of behavioral addiction recovery work, which, again, there's value to that. We need that.
Absolutely.
But if you do all of that, you will reach a point where you're going, I'm not acting out anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm not behaving in these same ways. But there's like a there's still this sense in your soul of like something's not quite whole here yet. I'm not quite experiencing the fullness of what I thought I would expect from this journey.
That's good.
And that's where I think you really start working. Now, the good news is we've tried to make these things where they can coincide. They can be they can be happening simultaneously, but
it's true.
There's still a little bit of a sense in which you go from stage one to stage two kind of a thing. It's not, in other words, even if we try on day one to start working on a guy's emotional system. Listen, until you stop acting out, it won't matter anyway.
Right, so. That's right. And it's funny because I'm going to tell an old story that I've told you before. We were doing groups in our church, and these guys had been in sexual integrity groups, and they'd been clean for a year. And we get this phone call from a wife that says, well, I know my husband's not acting out, but every night he comes home and watches TV in one room, and I watch it in the other room, and we go to bed. And he's not acting out, but we're nowhere near or closeness or, you know, that common destiny of teamwork. We're not there. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, my goodness, I made a mistake in the beginning. I thought this was a man who knew how to bond, and then he found an addiction. And if you took the addiction off of him, he would immediately go home and bond.
Yeah.
No, what's wrong with that theory? Just it,
because the addiction stunted the any of the growth. So there was no foundation established in the first place.
Exactly right. He doesn't know how to connect and bond and live well. The fantasy is where he grows and has fun. And he just builds a more elaborate fantasy over time. And he gets better and better and better at fantasizing an addiction, but he's stunted. So that's why the second step is required. The first step, stabilize, get off whatever you're abusing and using. Then awakening process, step two, emotional growth.
Exactly.
And that leads us back to Mr. Unemotional, because maybe he's parked his addiction and he's trying. But here's some comments. And I'll make a couple of comments and you give some feedback, okay? He says, I do not understand emotions. I don't get them. They're confusing. People say emotional this, emotional that. I don't get my emotions and I don't get yours.
Yeah. And so here's the there's two ways to maybe think about what this person is saying. By the way, this is a guy that sort of self-diagnosed himself as unemotional. Right. On the one hand, it's probably these have been statements that have been used very, very often over the years as an excuse and a way to push back on other people. Right.
Okay.
Listen, I don't understand. So let's not talk about that. Let's just talk about sports. Let's go fix that car. Let's go do whatever. And it's a way to deflect. But there's a positive way to look at this. If these words are coming out of this man's mouth, I don't understand emotions, I don't understand mine, and I don't understand yours. That's a great starting point. That's a confession.
That's good.
That's yeah. That's him telling the truth. And so
It could be used either way, to push you away and make you shut up.
When I would imagine that for him, probably for a long time, he was willing to say those words as a way to say, hey, you know, in other words, like, stop talking to me about your feelings. I don't understand mine. I don't understand yours. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
But if he's in a more open place now where he's saying those same words, it could be, okay, you're agreeing with the truth. You don't understand emotions.
But, and that's humility, right?
But would you be willing to go on a learning journey? Because kind of what you said, we've got to be trained in this. We can't just assume that because a guy's not acting out anymore, that magically he's going to be emotionally mature and wanting to go bond.
Excuse me. And I think women make that mistake because you can go and flirt and you can be Mr. Social and you can do all these things that make you look like you're a good connector. That's not the skill of a marriage or a deep relationship. Right.
Yeah, charm is not the same as deep emotional connection.
That's good. So emotions were irrelevant when I was growing up. There was only one. It was just anger or be quiet. Just talk surface. And working and staying quiet was all that mattered. Stay out of the way. Don't create problems. Don't make anybody upset. So we didn't need emotions. We did behaviors, and we did tasks, and we did chores, and we got things done, and we watched TV.
Yeah, and that's just it. So here's the other thing to think about this, right, Stephen, is that sometimes when a guy will say, I'm unemotional, and then he starts talking about things like, oh, you know, you counselor people or you people in ministry that are always talking about we gotta learn our emotion, we gotta be trained. It's like, I didn't have any training. Oh, wait a second. You did have emotional training.
Right.
You just told us what your emotional training was. In your house, emotions were way down the list on something that was valued or important, right? What was valued? Working hard, just getting a job done. Be stoic. Don't ever actually express your emotion. Now, anger is okay because dad gets angry all the time, and so it's fine, right? What was happening? He was having his emotional system trained.
Yeah.
It was just trained to be kind of non-existent.
Right.
Like, just in other words, I think we've got to realize that all of us have been trained emotionally in some way. Mm-hmm. When you go back to family of origin.
Right.
Now, when addiction comes along, obviously that then does its own kind of training in another direction. But are we willing to at least take a look at that and go, well, what was my training growing up?
No, that's great.
Work and getting stuff done, high value. Talking or expressing feelings, very, very low value. Okay, you were trained.
Right.
What's going to then be the new training to say, how can we start to create more of an equal value between getting stuff done and actually having, knowing and expressing your emotions in a healthy way?
And I think this whole idea of be quiet or leave or escape or leave the house, I mean, that response in childhood is often a man's response. They just glaze over. Well, what do you want me to say? You want to talk? Well, go ahead and talk. I mean, you know, I'm going to sit here quiet because I don't know what to say and I don't want to make it worse. Or I'm just going to walk away. You know, sometimes men go, I don't know, and they just walk away. Well, let's work it through. No, no. I've done this all my life. Escape, been quiet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So back to what was your training? Because it's obvious that whatever the training was, you're still doing some of it,
mm-hmm.
and it's not working.
Right.
Yeah. So today as an adult, I can't express my feelings. And when you turn on your emotions, I experience a strong need to shut down. So I'm just going with two. You can go off either one of them. But
so,
I can when you say, come on, come on. What are you feeling? What are you feeling? Come on, come on. Tell me what you're feeling. It's like, well, I got to say something here.
Now, on the one hand, when I hear that statement, today as an adult, I can't express my feelings. It'd be very easy, and I think some wives may do this. Very easy to just pass that off as just an excuse. Oh my goodness, you're just making another excuse for not talking to me or whatever. However, you know, we generally speaking, we all know that none of us can give anything that we don't actually have. So here's the thing. When he's saying, I can't express my feelings, I would interpret that as, well, of course, if you don't know how to identify what you are feeling, how would you know how to express it? So you got to take a little bit of a step even further back and say, all right, then what is it going to take for you to learn to know what you are feeling? And this is where I would highly recommend, like, go to feelingswheel.com or just, you know, type in Google emotion wheel. And there's these great little images that will give you, like, at the center of the wheel, it's got just the very basics, like happy, mad, sad, whatever. And then out from there, it starts giving you a little bit more nuanced language around, well, was, you know, from sad, well, was it, you know, disappointment? Or, you know, what was it actually that I was sad about?
Hey, can I plug a drmarriage.org workbook we have on the 40 Days of Oneness, Connecting, or the 7 Skills Men Need, you know. So we have a few workbooks, too, that you can take a look at as far as emotions. Now, what I like what's happening here is that the statement can be an honest statement that the guy is making. It can be like a confession. I don't know. I'm not good. But then the wife could take it as you're hiding. Don't tell me that. You do know. And don't you think men are kind of, I don't know, simple? I don't know if this is too general. But we don't need all the sophisticated emotional language. We hunt, we fish, we paint, we break, we build up, we tear down. We use our bodies. You know, that's the important stuff as a young man. And then later you're supposed to be good at this other stuff.
I think one thing to think about here is, so especially for the men that are listening or watching, is as you're hearing us say this and you're going, I identify with that, or you're feeling like you are Mr. Unemotional. I think here's the key. If you're making these same statements, but if you're in a place now where you're saying, I'm open to growth, that's the key. So if you say, I don't understand emotions, but I'm open to grow. I can't express my feelings, but I'm open to learn. Yes. That's the key. And that's what I think a wife needs to hear, too, is if, man, she's bringing all of her emotional energy and all of her emotional language and trying to draw you out. And you're going, I don't know what I can't express my feelings right now.
Right. But
I'm open to grow.
Yes. How that's would, a you know? Beautiful. Say the first part and say the second part.
Yeah.
Because the best of a female is often packaged in her emotions. And so she says, I'm bringing the best of me to you. Mm-hmm. Right? And you say, I don't know. Wait a minute. I brought all the stuff. Just sort through it. Walk with me. Talk to me. Let me disclose and explore with you in your presence. Don't say, I don't know. Right? Mm-hmm. But the second statement, when you turn on your emotions, I experience a strong need to shut down. Because the more emotional a woman becomes, it's easy for men to get lost or get hurt or take it as an attack and not, look, she's just venting off her pain, her feelings, her safety, her not feeling loved well and distress and being ignored by friends or not being the prettiest and being neglected. I mean, she's just talking about her life.
I think that goes back to this other idea of like, okay, are you open to learn? Are you open to grow? So there's a sense in which, okay, she's, when her emotions get turned on and she's bringing all of them, good, bad, and ugly, is that rather than immediately filtering that through, well, this is now about me, instead of going, well, what is she trying to express? There's a sense in which part of that learning,
that's a beautiful line,
is saying, if she's emoting, now she might be saying, I'm mad at you. But be careful about making even that emotion about you at the moment. Right. Like so this is all part of the learning, right? This is all part of, so even if you don't know what to say in that moment, just trying to have a humble learning posture goes a long way.
And you know, what occurred to me when you were saying that is she's very full of emotions right now, but what is she trying to tell me?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is a summary line in there of not feeling loved, not or feeling neglected, or I got hurt, or I'm overwhelmed. I mean, what's the summary line of all the stuff?
Now, that's not something you say out loud to her when she's saying all of that. No, you know, she's talking, and then you say, what's the summary line? Get to the bottom line. Don't say that. In fact, if you want to get to the summary line, here's the hint. You told me this years ago. If you want to get to the summary line even a little quicker, just keep saying, tell me more.
And she will get and to the summary line.
She'll get to the
herself.
End eventually.
That is good.
But you got to let it be at her pace, and, you know, she's got to take you there.
So an unemotional guy, when he gets too much emotion, he will just stop listening and he'll stare off or he'll glaze over. He'll go inside and sing a song and do something. I don't like what's happening out here. I'm going to go inside and say, well, you're not perfect either. I'm not going to tell you. But he glazes over. He drifts off and he retreats into survival mode.
And in some ways, this is very attuned to addiction world, isn't it? What happens? I get overwhelmed by like the realities of life. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pull back. I'm going to go into my own. I'm going to go into my head, and I'm going to retreat. And what's usually waiting there? Porn or something? So there's a sense
fantasy
in which
escape,
this is very attuned to that whole addiction cycle of saying when real life here that's right in front of me is expressing things that I don't feel like I have the tools or the resources to know how to deal with, I just go take care of me. I just kind of drift off. Because that feels safer.
I think it makes sense.
It feels safer.
I know where I am. I know the routine. I do it again and again.
Yeah.
Right? And it's almost like you're coming for a part of me. No, you can't have me. No, I'm going to deny me from you. And she goes, why? We're married. We're friends. I'm just telling you, it's pain coming at you.
Now, what's interesting to me about this is we all have a core need for comfort. And so the interesting thing to me is like when a wife may be doing all that emoting, she's maybe in a more verbal way showing her need for comfort, her need for connection.
Well, she's wearing it and you can hear the intensity.
But here's
right?
the thing. When this guy says, I stop listening, I stare off, and you go into survival mode, he's finding out time and time again when he does that, and I'd love for all the men to confess this together. When you do that, guess what? You never find comfort there.
It's true.
You don't find comfort in isolation. So it's like it exacerbates the disconnection between him and his wife, because comfort's not in survival mode. Comfort is in the connection.
Boy, this is really a good picture we're painting here, because she's coming forward. She's bringing the best of herself. She wants to have somebody inside her know her, and she's bringing it out, and he's withdrawing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting lost, and he's escaping. He's like,
neither of them experience comfort, right? No. They're both experiencing disconnection.
He says, at some point, when I'm retreating, I'm backing up, there's no more understanding going on. I stop listening. I'm not going to engage. I'm going flat into survival mode. No understanding, no engagement. And you know what? Your conversation just becomes noise to me.
Now, I will say this. So for somebody who, like this man, who maybe has had, he says, when I was a kid, emotion was irrelevant. So there's no foundation, there's no training, there's no modeling that he's seen of like healthy emotional connection and interacting. Obviously these statements here could be so hurtful and even offensive to a wife, right? But I will say this, I think for a man who's finally saying these are the realities, but I want to grow, right? I want to learn.
That's beautiful. Everybody together. And I want to grow. What's the line? I have not been good, but I want to grow. I've been emotionally stunted, but I want to grow, right?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
We have to add the new line.
But here's the thing. Even wanting to grow, there's going to be some pacing issues on this. And so therefore, I think sometimes couples need to designate like a buzzword or some kind of like, we need a break. In other words, there is a limit. Like when he says at a certain point, there's just no more interesting engagement. It just becomes white noise. I can't even connect at all. So there does need to be some understanding of when maybe some of those thresholds are getting met and saying,
a little time out, you're saying.
Let's just take a break for an hour. Right? Let's do something else. You know.
Yeah. Because this is what you sort of see this progression, right? Where he gets overwhelmed and too much noise. I stop understanding. I disengage. And then he says, all I hear is the pain in your voice. And all of your pain is screaming at me. You know, yeah. All of your pain, your frustration, your irritability, your disappointment, your sadness, all of your pain just sounds like screaming at me.
Well, and, you know, certainly that's valid to sort of interpret it that way. Think about it, too. This is somebody that, I mean, if we're talking about a married couple here, we're talking about somebody that at one point in their lives, they made vows, they made covenant, right? They're in a covenant. There certainly was a foundation of love there. And when all of that is coming out, and this guy has no experience and no tools, no training to know how to respond well to that, it can start to feel like an attack, even if a wife is simply venting her pain, which I think is normal. It's okay.
Yes.
But again, the way this can feel to a guy who has never learned how to listen to that, it can just feel like a tidal wave, right?
I think so.
So two things. Yeah. One is he needs to keep saying, okay, I want to grow. I want to learn how to do this better. She also maybe can temper how and when she's going to
or pace or bring the volume down or little bits or something to help him, right? Yeah. So he says, after all of this, then I remind myself when I hear your pain, when I start shutting down, I go inside and remind myself that I'm a failure and I'm a disappointment. And I hate disappointing you. And that's what all your pain comes across is screaming at me.
Yeah, there's a huge shame thing there, right? Because let me just put it this way. Guys are not dumb. And I also believe that guys are not so oblivious to their wives and their surroundings or their emotions that they can't connect certain dots. Listen. Just about every guy out there, and again, I'm going to talk, this is a bell curve thing, okay? So please take it just as a generality. But so many men that we have talked with, do we have to ask them if they feel like they are at an equal place with their wife in terms of emotional intelligence or emotional, you know, expression? No. Every single guy that we've dealt with has been like, she's way ahead of me. It comes so much more naturally, so easy for her. They already feel a deficiency in terms of skill and, you know, training. So when all this pain is coming, it just makes them feel that much more of like a failure. Now, this doesn't give a guy an excuse to just say, I'm not going to engage. But I just think it's important to know how so many men that we've dealt with feel in terms of their incompetency around the emotional conversations. That when all the pain starts coming toward him, he's like, I don't feel like I have any skills. And in fact, it just shows me once again that I'm a total failure in this area. And I love the fact that he says, I hate disappointing you. I'm not out to try to disappoint you, you know.
Right. So he says, you use emotions freely and passionately and colorfully. And all I hear is pain and hurt and disappointment. I do not understand the purpose of emotions. You expect me to be emotionally mature and insightful and fluid. That's what you're looking for me. I can't do it.
Yeah. And this is great. You know, I love the fact that he says, you know, use emotions freely, passionately, and colorfully. That's a great statement.
It is.
That's something to say to his wife. Like, and it's okay, I think, to say, and I don't feel like I can express things in that same way, but what's he going to say? But I want to grow. I may not be able to express things the same way that you express them, but I want to get better skills. I want to be able to reflect those emotions back to you. I want to be able to talk about my own feelings in that same kind of way.
Yes.
And so that's, I mean, if we take anything from this conversation, it's, and I want to grow, right?
That's
so,
right.
All and of this can be honest about you, but you really, the attitude you need to have is not just saying, I'm going to go bury my head in the sand and say, well, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
No, you can grow. You can emotionally mature.
And so this is a guy that's waking up and saying, I want to grow. But if you've been listening to our podcasts, and I am growing. Mm-hmm. So there's really two statements. If you've been on the journey a bit and I'm growing, I'm going to get there. Or if you're waking up, look, I want to grow. I want to grow. That just gives hope to a spouse that knows you've been stuck. So finally he said, the truth is, I frequently balance between awkwardness and being clumsy. That's the best I can do. But I'm very good at two things. I'm good at working and being numb. But as of today, I want to grow.
Yeah. And so here's the thing. We've dubbed this, you know, Mr. Unemotional. But that is not a title that must remain on a person for the rest of your life. So let's, if you today, men, if you can say, boy, I really am Mr. Unemotional. I can identify with that. But if you can also say, but I want to grow,
amen.
The good news is you can become Mr. Emotional. You can become the guy that says, you know what, I know how to tap into my own feelings. I know how to express that. Amen. I know how to be able to stand steady when my wife is coming at me with all of her emotions, because I'm growing in these skills and I'm growing in these this amen. Competency for that. Well, for these kind of thoughts and more, go to drmarriage.org.
Thank
if you want to get some of these thoughts from Stephen that he puts out every day. And, of course, please reach out to us because we want to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ.
Amen.
And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time. So take care.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.